I want to talk tonight about grief. It's something I've talked about, I think, a few times over the last several months, but it's important because there is so much grief, there's so much loss, there's so much suffering in our world right now that the acknowledgement of this is really important. And I especially want to talk about it because I read an article this week. I discovered a teacher, or I was made aware of a teacher a couple of months ago. I did an online seminar. I can't remember what it was, but this woman, Kriti Kanko, was one of the teachers, was one of the speakers, and she is a Zen priest, and she writes a lot about climate change. And she wrote an article that's in this month's Tricycle magazine, which is one of the Buddhist publications, called Climate Grief and Communal Power. And she said it is time to not just acknowledge individual level grief and rage, but to also acknowledge our collective emotions around the rapidly escalating climate emergency, as well as other interlocking crises. The world, with its various ecosystems and many different people of all races and backgrounds, is our own extended, interconnected one body. And I think that's such an important point to recognize this interconnectedness because so many of us were not taught how to handle grief or these really challenging emotions. I remember years ago when I was in chaplaincy training, we had somebody asking us about a particular emotion and how were we taught about how to handle that in our family growing up. And everyone is taught differently, and if you talk about grief, there oftentimes we're not taught about it. We don't mention it, or it's given a specific amount of time. You know, you have a week, a month, whatever it is, and then you need to be over it. And oftentimes we suffer in silence. We kind of put it away because it's challenging. It's a really challenging emotion. And I think it's so important to acknowledge grief right now because there's so much collective grief and so much collective trauma that we're all experiencing. And it's recognition that this interconnectedness of our humanity, and it's the human condition. It's the human condition. And when we are, you know, experiencing it by ourselves or kind of pushing it away and thinking we should or whatever it is, there's this sense of separation, which is really awful. It's really, really painful, that sense of separation, A, both from our emotions, our experiences, and from each other. And she goes on to say, there has barely been any space for emotional or psychological processing of the dire state of our ecosystems. Similarly, there hasn't been any space curated for sharing climate grief or racial trauma in my Buddhist meditation groups. And so I'm not gonna create a space for sharing of grief right now, but I want to just acknowledge the reality and the necessity of finding a place that we can open to it. And to talk about the importance of it. Grief is about loss. And it's the heart's natural response to loss. And it's not just the societal loss and the losses we're experiencing across the world right now, but it's losses in our personal lives. I mentioned I did a half day this morning and someone was there. Who had just lost his partner. And so, you know, and I lost my brother a little while ago. And so there's a lot of loss. There's a loss of people. There's a loss of capacity. There's all kinds of losses that we have. And there's grief that goes along with that. And it can be really unsettling. Grief can be really unsettling, just as loss can be unsettling. And I like Sharon Salzberg talks about it. She says, to grieve, whether for a person, a set of ideals, or our hopes and dreams, is to watch reality, once so solid seeming, become molten. It's hard to get oneself to take the next step in a dissolving world. Where will our foot land when it seems like nothing will support us? How do we move toward inner or outer change? You know, and I think it's so true. There are these things we take for granted, even though on a certain level we understand the idea of impermanence. On another level, we're kind of going, la, 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 not going to happen, or it's not going to happen for a while, or it won't be that bad. We have this self-protective mechanism that keeps us from turning towards it. And so we kind of have this tendency not to feel, you know, and we have to be willing to be present for it. I Frank Ostasevsky, who works with death and dying, and has written a lot and taught a lot about it, he says, we may think of grief as a solid thing that will eclipse our life, or a hole that we will fall into and never escape. Our tendency for self-protection leads us to store the conflicting emotions of grief in some dark, cramped corner of the mind or body. But avoidance or resistance to grief only intensifies the pain. And I remember, I've probably mentioned it before, my father died when I was little, and there was no talk about anything. Just one day, it's like, okay, he's not coming home anymore, and we're going about our business. And so I didn't have a clue about grief or death or dying, how to handle it either for myself or for others. And when my mother passed away, I was 24. She died on my 24th birthday. Anyway, I got home from, I was in grad school, and I got home and my roommates told me, my brother had called them. This was before cell phones. So they couldn't get a hold of me because I was in class all day. And then when I got home, and the first thing I said was, I don't want to feel this. It wasn't even conscious that to a certain extent it was, but it was like, just, can I have a drink? I just want to numb this out. I didn't tell anybody because if I told people, they would express sympathy, and I didn't know how to hold that, and I didn't want to feel it. And I did what Ostasevsky says, and I stuffed it down into that cramped, dark corner. I had no clue how to deal with it. And so when we don't know how to deal with things because they are scary, they are big, and we do feel we're going to fall into these places that are dark, it doesn't, as with any difficult emotions, with anger, we're taught anger bad, or this is bad, you're not supposed to feel this, if you were a better person, you would not feel these things, which is nonsense, because they're the natural responses we have to different experiences. And so to feel grief, to feel rage, to feel all these things is quite normal. It's part of being human. And so when we stuff these things away and deny them, we're denying our humanity. And we're walking this path that's trying to be, above or outside of the human condition, which of course is impossible. It's impossible for that to happen, but we so unconsciously oftentimes try and do that. And I found a quote from this journalist, Dar Jamal, who says, my acceptance of our problem is, what is it? The price of opening up to and embracing my grief is that I have never felt more alive. I have found that it's possible to reach a place of acceptance and inner peace while enduring the grief and suffering that are inevitable. And so that is, I don't want to say antidote, but that's the direction we want to move in. Not, pushing it away, not stuffing it into some kind of dark corner, not a spiritual bypass. A spiritual bypass is that, I have a practice, therefore I don't feel this. I used to think if I intellectually understood something, then I wouldn't feel it, which is what spiritual bypass is I intellectually understand this and I understand impermanence and therefore it's not going to impact me, which is nuts. It absolutely is going to impact us, and we have to recognize that, and we have to be willing to feel. And recognize that we're not alone. And the more we can turn towards and open and accept our own grief and our own sadness and our own challenges, the more we can recognize that shared experience with others, you know? And how can we not experience grief when we see what's going on, when we see the suffering? This is part of this practice, is to recognize the suffering. The Buddha saw the suffering and he said, how do we disconnect, or how do we get away from that suffering that's extra, that's on top of the human condition? The human condition, we are all of the nature to get sick, grow old, and die. Not all of us get old. Some of us die young. So how do we work with that? You know, and how do we hold it in a wise and skillful way? And I remember I wrote a while ago, allow yourself to feel. Allow yourself to cry. Allow yourself to breathe. And let your heart be touched. You know, we open to the grief that's here. We recognize it when it's present. And it comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. I did a self-retreat last week for 5 days. And when you go on retreat, you can become very tender and open. And grief can show up very easily. And so the invitation is to just be with it. And I would have the coming and the going. A thought would arise and it would bring up some grief. There would be tears. And you turn towards it. You recognize it. Where does it show up? How does it show up? Where is it in the body? And watch the tendency to want to push it away. I think I read a couple of books by this man, William Bridges. One was called Transition, and the other was called The Way of Transition. He wrote them about 20 years apart. But the gist of it is, when something ends, when, you know, someone dies or something comes to an end, we have this tendency to want to get into the next thing. What's next? What do we do now? To search for those answers, to try and find some softening of the challenges. And instead, the invitation is to be in that liminal space, that space in between, that space of transition, that space of not knowing that Sharon Salzberg spoke about, you know, this molten space. How do we maneuver? And it's this practice of gentleness, this practice of kindness, this practice of compassion for ourselves, of tending to our hearts, to be loving towards ourselves. I love Bell Hooks' quote about, to be loving is to be open to grief, to be touched by sorrow, even sorrow that's unending. We get to be open to the way it is, that undefended heart. The defended heart is the one that picks and chooses and says, this is okay and that's not okay. Instead, we are touched, like Guanyin, the bodhisattva of compassion. She hears the cries of the world, but she's not overcome by them. We learn how to hold them. You know, and when we grieve, we allow ourselves to feel what's present. The tragedy that's going on, the historical tragedy sometimes. Sometimes it's in our DNA. I read that in my grandmother's hands. And that we're seeing that this generational trauma actually is absorbed. I don't know the technical terms for it, but we carry that with us. So to tend to that with gentleness and recognize it takes courage to grieve, to honor that pain, you know? And however we grieve, it's appropriate. Whatever it is, but to honor that. And to do it sometimes in community. That's why a lot of people come together and they have grief groups or ritual or something, you know. Whatever seems to make sense for you. Some people do it privately, some people do it in community. But to recognize what we're part of the shared experience of the whole world. We restore our connection to ourselves when we open to grief, and we restore our connection to others. We're not so isolated. I was talking about this the other night, and somebody was mentioned cultivating joy and the necessity of doing that, and that's part of this. Oftentimes, when we are experiencing some challenging emotion, grief or something, we push away joy, saying, no, I can't feel this now because there's grief. How can I be happy and joyful when there's so much suffering in the world? And instead, we have to acknowledge the joy when it shows up. Because if we don't, then one more time we're pushing away reality. We're saying no to the present moment and saying it's supposed to be this way. I remember years ago, this one time I was in this place of grief and it was feeling really cathartic. And then I felt it starting to, it was like dissipating. And I was like grabbing onto it, coming back. I want to feel that some more because it just feels so, and just, instead of just letting it go and saying, what's right now? Maybe it's mundane right now. Maybe it's a little boring right now. Maybe I just have to do some chores right now. Or maybe there's some joy. Maybe I see a gorgeous sunset or smell. Right now it's springtime and the flowers are just sensational. Maybe I can enjoy that. So it's really important not to get stuck in places, get rigid, because we can tend to get rigid. This is the way it is, and walk around with our, you know, our shoulders up around our ears and our jaws really tight, which is why it's important to relax. That's why it's important when we move into meditation to intentionally relax so we can release that stuff we're holding and be present for right now. Be present for what we're experiencing, joy, grief, anger, giddiness, but open our hearts to everything and acknowledge the pain that exists. It's so prevalent right now that we have to honor it. It's this collective grief that we're all experiencing, and so to acknowledge it and to honor it and to say, I see you. And I'm not going to get into talking about working for change, because that's a whole nother talk and that's a whole nother road to go down, because it's not that we just say, okay, this is the way it is. We do what we can to end suffering where we find it in whatever way makes sense for us. But we also have to honor what's here. And sometimes we have to take a break from it. Sometimes we have to take a step back and not let ourselves be overwhelmed, because that doesn't do anyone or anything any good, ourselves or others. So I invite you to reflect on your own experience with this and see how you're holding it, and how you might tend to yourself, how you might care for yourself in these really challenging moments. So thank you so much, my friends. I always deeply appreciate your kind attention. Thank you for visiting Undefended Dharma.
These teachings are freely offered. However, if you would like to make a donation to help support the technology that makes these podcasts possible, please visit marystankavich.org/support. Thank you.